A beautiful chorus song, beautiful words. Wow, first time I've heard it, but thank the Lord for it and how true it is. This morning we're going to look at a true Christian's life. From start to finish is based on three things: facts, faith, and following. A true Christian's life. A born-again Christian, someone who says, I am a Christ one, their life from start to finish is based on three things: facts, faith, and following. Following who? The one we've been singing about, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to start off with one question. This is not my own. I read it in a little book someone gave to me when we were up in New Carlisle. It was called, Do You Believe? Do you really believe is really what the answer, the question is. And here's the question that was in that little book. If you were accused of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Think about that. If you were accused of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence in your life to convict you? That's a pretty deep question, isn't it? Why did I remember it? Because it speaks to me too. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 4. A beautiful verse, very deep also. Speaking about God, of course about His Son. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 4. Listen to what the words are in this verse, what it says. It says, He is the rock. That is speaking about God. He is the rock, or He is of greatness. It says, His work is perfect, for all His ways are judgment or justice. A God of truth or faithfulness, without iniquity, just and right is He. Would you not say that was a pretty loaded verse? Would that not speak of some of the attributes and characteristics of our God? And so what we're looking at this morning, first of all, is facts. And some of the facts that I want to speak about God is absolute. He is absolutely holy. He is absolutely loving. He is absolutely righteous. If you went to Psalm 139, He is absolutely all-knowing. He's absolutely all-seeing. He's absolutely ever-present. And He's absolutely ever-powerful. If you went to the Epistle of 1 John, you would see that the Lord is light, He is love, and He is life. Those are facts about a holy and righteous God. That first verse that we read, you should mark it in your Bibles. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all His ways are justice, a God of truth, without iniquity, He is just or righteous, and right is He. That is a fact. Now you can say, well, I believe in God. Do you believe in His Son, Jesus Christ? What's it say in John chapter 14? The Lord said to His disciples, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. If we believe in God, we must believe in His Son, Jesus Christ, for they are one. We think of the Godhead, which is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Father is in heaven. God the Son, as we've been singing about, came to this earth to die for your sins and for my sins. And God the Spirit indwells those people who by faith accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. We can take one thing about truth. We see truth was mentioned in this verse about God. How about His Son? John chapter 14 and verse 6. The Lord Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you went to John chapter 16 and verse 13, it was speaking about the Holy Spirit. It says the Holy Spirit of truth. If you went to John chapter 17 and verse 17, you would read about what the Word of God is. It says, sanctify them with Thy Word. Thy Word is truth. So if you want something that is absolute, go to the Word of God. Put your faith and trust in God and His Son, Jesus Christ. That is one of the facts about the Lord. You say, where does it say about he was holy? If you want to Isaiah 57 and verse 15, it says this, thus saith the high and lofty one who inhabits or occupies eternity, whose name is holy. And I dwell in a high and holy place. These are facts about the God that we're talking about. These are facts we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, who came down to this sin-cursed world. Facts. So our Christian life is based on first facts, faith, and following. What about facts about ourselves? Let's look at that. About the natural man or woman, someone who was not saved the way I was for 31 years. Let's go to, first of all, Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 20. Listen to what it says. This is where I was, and if you're sitting here this morning and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, this is what you are. These are facts, as written by the Word of God. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 20, it says, for there is not a just or righteous man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And that word man, by the way, is generic. It is for men or women or young people. There is not a just person upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. First of all, if you're not saved, you are unrighteous in God's sight. You are unrighteous. Hard to say, isn't it? And hard to take too, isn't it? We are unrighteous in God's sight. See, God made man with the ability to choose. He has a free will choice. Man sinned and inherited a sinful nature. Men make choices within the sphere of sin. Man sins because he is a sinner. First of all, man is unrighteous. Number two, Isaiah 64 and verse 6. Isaiah 64 and verse 6. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. If you're not saved this morning, in God's sight, you are unclean. Unclean. First, we're unrighteous. Then we're unclean. What about Romans chapter 5 and verse 6? These are verses in the New Testament, and it says this, for when we were yet without strength, that is unstable in our lives. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Two things, unstable and ungodly, if you're not saved this morning. And you wonder why we sin? Those are just four of the reasons. Ungodly. What about Romans chapter 3 and verse 23? Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, it says, for all, that includes everyone, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have come short. We have missed the mark. We have missed the standard. That means that we are unqualified to be in God's heaven. We're unqualified. What about 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8? If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We're also untruthful to ourselves, to others. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And then we see that picture in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 5, and we see the prophet Isaiah as he would look at the Lord Jesus Christ, or the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. The posts of the door, they moved as the seraphims would say, holy, holy, holy. And then in that verse 6, he would say, woe is me, for I am undone. And I am a man of unclean lips. In a midst of people of unclean lips. We see undone. Do you ever see a pair of shoes or your people walking by and their shoes are undone? You know what they're looking for? Some trouble, aren't they? Because they probably trip and fall. What about a coat in the middle of the winter and your fellow's out there and it's 35 below zero and he's got a great big coat on but he doesn't have it buttoned up? It means we're exposed to all the things around us. So we see facts again. We see a person who is not saved, first of all, is unrighteous in God's sight. He's unclean in God's sight. He's unstable in God's sight. He is ungodly in God's sight. He's unqualified in God's sight. And he is untruthful. Remember what we say about God? He's holy. He's loving. He's righteous. He's all-knowing. He's all-seeing. He's ever-present. He's all-powerful. He's love. He's life. And he's light. Those are only a few of the things. Quite a comparison there between a high and lofty God, isn't there? A holy God and a sinful person. And so we look at it and we say, if you use your common sense or logic, you say, you know what, there's a problem there. How can we be called Christians? How can we enter into his holiness? How can we be made righteous? We are unrighteous. How can we be made righteous? How can we be made clean? How can we be made stable? How can we be made godly? How can we be qualified? We heard this morning, my brother praying this morning about someone who was qualified. You know who he was? The Lord Jesus Christ, wasn't he? How can we be made truthful? That is coming to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, there is the facts before us. Secondly, there is faith. In a Christian's life, there's faith, and we talk about faith so many times, and we try to describe faith. Let me say three things about faith. First of all, faith is based on those facts we just read about God and about yourself. Faith is sitting back or standing back and saying, Lord, yes, I agree with, because faith is based on faith, or faith is based on facts. Faith is best based on accepting those facts. Accepting them, say, yes, I agree with you, God. Do you know what it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6? Without faith, it is impossible to please him. That is God. He or she that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. What does that say? You say, I know I'm a sinner. So faith is based on facts, number one. Number two, faith is based on accepting those facts, saying yes. What did Paul say? He says, I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced, or I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I know that. In other words, he accepted the facts that God told him he was a sinner, he needed a Savior, and there was only one Savior, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why the cross of Christ is so important to every man, woman, and child. Because there, on the cross of Calvary, God, in a body of flesh, he came down, became man, and he went to the cross, and there he died for you and I. We turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 6. Here Paul is speaking about praying for all mankind in verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. And we should pray for everyone. Who will have all men or women to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. Remember what we talked about, truth? For there is one God and one mediator between God and man. We know what a mediator is, don't we? Someone who goes between two parties who are at enmity. And if you went to Romans chapter 5, it says, we're not saved, we are enemies of God. There's one God and one mediator between God, we talked about the holiness of God, and man, we talked about the uncleanness of man and the unrighteousness of man. One mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom, that is, he purchased the purchase price, he delivered us with his own precious blood when we come to him in faith. Who gave himself a ransom for all to be a testimony in due time. That is what fixes our problem. We have facts. God is holy. We are sinful. We accept that fact. And also, our faith is based on assurance. Knowing, as Paul already said, I know whom I have believed. And also we could add to that, if you will, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. Turn there with me, please. There are people who accept the Lord Jesus, or they say they do, and yet they say, I have no assurance. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. John is the writer, John the apostle, the disciple. This is what he says in verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. That is faith in all the facts. That believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. So faith is based on facts. It's based on accepting those facts. It's based on assurance of those facts. So he says, how do we enter in, as it were, to that place of faith? There's three things. First of all, there must be repentance in our lives. Secondly, there must be remission of sins. Thirdly, there must be regeneration, a new life in Christ. So we say, I believe that Christ, God is holy, that Jesus Christ is holy. By the way, it says about the Lord Jesus Christ himself that he was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners and made higher in the heavens. We know that he's holy. We don't have to worry about those. The facts are in front of us. And if we have a desire to know the Lord better, we just need to get into the Word of truth and learn about him. And my friends, when we get in there, we find out that we're just scratching the surface when we try to dig deeper and deeper. And there's so much truth there. You want to have assurance. You want to have a life that is full of peace and so on. Get into the Word of God. Because it doesn't matter then what's going on around us. All the circumstances, all the things that are going on that we get anxious about. Because you know what? We have assurance of our salvation. We have assurance that we will be in heaven. We have assurance. Why? Because there was a time when we repented of our sins. The word repentance means to change of mind or a change of attitude. Because if I come around to everyone today, and you're not saved, especially those who are not saved, and I ask them, so what do you think about God? Well, I believe in God. So what do you believe in God about? What is it? What does he mean to you? And how does that relate to you? What would your answer be? Because you know what? We should have an answer, shouldn't we? You say, I believe in God. Well, why do you believe in God? What does he mean to you? You know what? One of the first answers, I believe in his Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, and I am cleansed by that precious blood. How do you know that? Because God tells me that in the Word of God. And I'm assured of it. I accept what it says about me, and I accept about it what it says about him. And I accept about the mediator that Jesus Christ came into the world between a holy God and a sinful man. He died in my place. He took my place. He bore my burdens, my sins in his own body in the tree. That if I come to him by faith, that is accepting the facts and being assured of the facts, and coming to him in repentance, a change of mind, and remission of sins. And by the way, remission is not just forgiveness. We heard that this morning. God removes our sins the moment we accept him, put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He removes them as far as the east is from the west. He buries them behind his back. He buries them in the deepest sea, and he puts them behind his back. All your sins, past, present, future. Can you understand that? You say, well, how do I know that? Because the Word of God tells us that. Remember, God doesn't ask us to behave. He asks us to believe. And the moment you start believing and accepting what God says, you will start behaving. Remission of sins. Where does it speak about repentance? In Acts chapter 20 and verse 21, Paul is speaking to the Jews and Gentiles. He says, repentance towards God. A change of mind, change of attitude towards God, and faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ. That is accepting. That is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 5 and verse 32, The Lord says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I came that they would change their mind, that would see who I am, and they would call out to me. By the way, the Word of God says, hearken unto me. The Word of God says, call unto me. The Word of God says, look unto me. The Word of God says, come unto me. God is bidding people to come to Him. He wants people to look at Him. In John chapter 1, verse 29, He says, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. What does the word behold mean? It means to stop. And not just to take a quick glance at, it means to investigate. That is one of the thieves on the cross in Luke chapter 23. There was two thieves, one on either side of the Lord Jesus when He hung on the cross. They were hanging on the cross too. And one of them, he was listening to what was going on. He was hearkening. He was also looking at that person between him and the other thief. He also called out to him. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He called out to him, and the Bible says clearly, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he says, whosoever, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. So what is he saying? The door is wide open. The Lord is bidding people to come to Him. He has already finished the work. He has died for your sins. And He's saying, will you make a choice and will you come to me? And the other thief on the other side, he said, no. He said, if you're the Christ, come down from the cross and save yourself and us. The other fellow was thinking about what was ahead of him. Because you know, people sitting here today, after life ends, that is time. Everything is based on time. I'm watching that clock up there. I just turned another year, a month ago, older. Everything is based on time. When time ends, eternity begins. And what you do in time is going to set what is for you in eternity. You know that? And the Bible speaks of two places clearly, and we don't like speaking about one place, but one place is called hell. And people say, well, why would God send people to hell? Do you know what sends people to hell? Their sin that the Lord Jesus Christ has already paid for, but they won't come to Him in faith and accept Him as their Lord and Savior. They won't do that, and so they will have to go to a place that's prepared for the devil and his angels in Matthew chapter 25, to a place called hell. Those who accept Him, the Lord says in John chapter 14, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. If I die today, if the Lord calls me home today, I know for sure, based on the Word of God, that I'm going to be absent from this body and I'm going to be present with the Lord. Can you say that? And if He comes in the air, which He could come today, that is the rapture, by the way, and there's nothing that needs to happen in this word in the Bible. No more events need to happen before He comes. And the Bible says in the days of Noah, the likeness of the days of Noah, when there was wickedness and the imaginations of the heart were evil continually, and the same scene, if you will, of Sodom and Gomorrah, that's going to happen when the Lord comes down to the earth to set up His kingdom. And before that, 7 years at least before that, He's coming in the air. How soon is He coming? Because look at the world today. And see if it doesn't resemble those times in Genesis chapter 7 or 6 and Genesis chapter 18. How close is His coming? So if He comes for you today, or if He calls you home today, are you ready to meet the Lord? Have you already settled those things and said, Lord, yes, I am a sinner, and I want to be saved, and I believe those facts in the Word of God. I believe them with all my heart. I accept them, and I'm assured of them, because You said it. I know Your Son is the mediator. He is the Savior of the world. And I accept what He has done for me. I ask Him for forgiveness, for remission of sins. I believe it with all my heart. We said repentance we said remission of sins. And if you went to John chapter 3 and verse 3, it says, except a man or a woman be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Regeneration, you need a new life from above. You need a spiritual life. You need to be indwelt by the Spirit of God. It says in that same chapter in verse 5, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. If you're not saved this morning, first of all, you're blinded from the kingdom of God. If you're not saved this morning, you are blocked from entering into the kingdom of God. Why? Because you have not a new life within you. From above, God gives you that new life. The moment you believe, the moment you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, God will place in you the Spirit of God. You are indwelt by the Spirit of God. Within me this morning, I have part of the divine nature. That is the Spirit of God. That is what guides us. That is what leads us. That is the new life within us. And so we need repentance, a change of attitude of mind. We need forgiveness of sins, and we need regeneration. We need a brand new life within us in order to come into that word faith. Now I am saved. Is that where it stops? No, you have a brand new life, remember? We have a brand new life. And what comes after that? We said following. Following. And so many people say, he wants us to follow him. He doesn't want us just to be a fan. We heard that spoken on many times. And we read in the New Testament so many times that there was many crowds, big crowds around the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's many instances where we see an individual, we think of that woman who had the blood issue, and she came through the crowd and she reached out and touched the hem of his garment. Why? Because she had a need and she knew that he could fix her need. What about blind Bartimaeus? Luke chapter 18. He had a need. He said, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." What did the crowd say? Leave, be quiet, will you? Don't bother him. We're enjoying him. We are his fans. He called out the more. He said, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And the Lord stopped and he said, "What do you want me to do?" He said, "That I may see. Give me sight." The Lord said, "Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace." And it says, and he followed him. The moment you get saved, are you following the Lord Jesus Christ? Because that is evidence that you are saved. Following him. So many people, we quote Psalm 23. We hear it at funerals, at weddings, and all kinds of things. The Lord is my shepherd. Let me give you six ships for the Christian. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That is ownership. The Lord is my shepherd. Ownership. Do you own him as your shepherd? Because if he's your shepherd, you should be following him. Verse 2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. That's leadership. Are you allowing him to lead you? He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That is friendship. Someone who comes alongside and restores. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of the death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That is companionship. Is he your companion? Is he your friend? Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. My cup runneth over. That is fellowship. Table, cup. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In heaven there will be perfect worship. That's where I'm going to be. So when you read Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Ownership, leadership, friendship, companionship, fellowship, and worship. Is he the one that we put our focus on? Is he preeminent in our lives? Is he the one we're following? Or are we following someone else? Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 21. We want to see the word follow? Look what it says. For even hereunto were ye called. That is, you were called to be a Christian. Called to follow him. Listen to what it says. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. You should follow his steps. What are his steps? Let's just read them. Who did no sin, neither was there guile found in his mouth. Number one, as he was sinless. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. First of all, I said steps. He was sinless. He was truthful. Neither was there any guile found in his mouth. And verse 23, who when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. He was enduring. S-T-E. What about P? Who committed himself to him that judges righteously. Do you ever commit yourself unto the Lord? That is through prayer, by the way. He was prayerful. And if you went to the book of Luke, at least 7 times we see the Lord Jesus Christ when he walked on this earth. He was God manifest in the flesh, but we see him apart by himself praying. In fact, one case he prayed all night. That was our prayer life. S-T-E-P-S. It says this in the last part. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. He was sacrificial. So you say, well, he was sinless, but I can't be sinless. No, you can't be, and neither can I. Because we have an old nature, but we also have a new nature. And our desire should be to sin less. We are to develop spiritually as a Christian. We are to develop to be more and more like Christ. Romans chapter 8. That we would be conformed to the image of his dear Son. So we should strive to sin less each day. What about truthful? How truthful am I? We hear of little white lies or something that is not, it's a little off color or it's just not quite true. That's not truthful. He was absolutely truthful. We should desire to be more truthful in every aspect of our lives. How about ye, enduring or patient? How is our patience? I don't have a whole lot of patience, especially when I'm driving. Lord, forgive me. We should have a desire to be more patient or more enduring. We should be those who have a prayer life. And my friends, you know what? There is tremendous power in prayer. Being persistent and being consistent. We think of Daniel in the Old Testament. He prayed, even during his circumstances when he knew what was going to happen. He did not change anything, not his time, nowheres. He kept on praying. We think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Some more examples. They wouldn't bend, they wouldn't bow, and they didn't burn. Why? Because they believed in their God. So did Daniel. And we can be sacrificial in our time. What's it say? Redeeming the time in the Bible. Some people waste time. Some people kill time. Some people do all kinds of things with time. The Bible says to redeem the time. That is to take it into perspective and to use it wisely. Sacrificial in our time, in our place. That is, in our workplace and everything else, we should be always honoring the Lord. And what about our possessions? We should be honoring the Lord with our possessions and our time. The Lord was sinless. He was truthful. He was enduring. He was prayerful. And he was sacrificial. And the Lord says, what did he say in verse 21? For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. Christians, he's leaving us as examples in this world that you should follow his steps. You say, well, that really doesn't what it means. Well, that's the way I take it. And we look at him as he walked through this world. He truly was an example, wasn't he? Of absolutely everything. And we're just like Isaiah as we look at him in the mirror. We look at him in the Word of God, because the Word of God is like a mirror. And when you look into a mirror, you see a reflection. And the first reflection we should see is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who is absolutely perfect. We already spoke about him. He's absolutely holy. He's absolutely righteous. He's absolutely loving. He's all-knowing. He's all-seeing. He's all-ever-present. He's all-powerful. He's love, light, and life. He's there. When we look into the Word of God, we should see Christ. And my friends, if you will go through the whole Bible, Christ is in every single book, Old Testament and New. Genesis, the seed of the woman. Isn't he? Exodus. Deliverer. We see there a type, a picture of Christ in Exodus chapter 12. And so on. Right on through, we see in the offerings and everything, we see Christ throughout the Bible, pointing to Christ, pointing to Christ. And then we see in John chapter 1, verse 29, we already quoted it, we see there the prophet, he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." He identifies him. "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Do you know what? You and I have absolutely no excuse not to know who he is, not to be saved, and not to be following him. We can easily go our own way. The Bible says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." And my friends, I can look at myself and see many times when I was a wandering sheep. That's why we need a good shepherd, the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we need someone to follow, because we talk about sheep, and in the natural thing, a sheep is a dumb animal. If you had a 500 sheep in a field, and there was a big cliff on one side of the field, and somebody went over and cut a hole in the fence, and one sheep went through that hole and jumped over the fence, guess where the rest of them would go? And today in this world, we look at people, we put them up on pedestals, and what? We start dressing like them, we look like them, we want to sing like them, we want to talk like them, we want to do everything like them. We follow like sheep, we're following, and we're falling over the cliff. And the Lord is saying, "I'm over here. I want to be your shepherd. Will you follow me?" He says, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly." What a Savior we have. So we see a true Christian's life from start to finish is based on first facts. And we need to get into the Word of God to see the facts. Our faith is based on accepting those facts, and is based on assurance of those facts. We need to come to the Lord if we want to be saved in repentance. Repentance, a change of mind, a change of attitude towards God and his Son, Jesus Christ, and to the Word of God. We need to come to him. We need to have our sins forgiven. Say, "Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins." We need remissions of sins, and we need to come to him and ask for a new life. And God will give us a new life. Regeneration. Except a man be born again. He's not talking about being spiritually born again. He's talking about I'm physically born again. He's talking about being spiritually born again, being born again from above by the Spirit of God indwelling you. And the moment, my friends, we get there, we will want to follow him. And sometimes we look at people today and we say, well, they say they're a Christian, but they're not following. We need to follow him, myself included. Facts, faith, following. And again, I'm going to leave with that question that I started off with. If you were accused of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? If you are accused of being a Christian today, and you know what? That may come if the Lord don't tarry. It may come to a point where the authorities will bring you before them and say, you know what? Someone has accused you of being a Christian. We're going to see if there's enough evidence in your life to convict you. I pray that everyone in this meeting, in this room, there will be all kinds of evidence in your life. Yes, that you would be convicted that you are a Christian. But thank God, you have a prospect that even if they take your life, you will be absent from this body and present with the Lord. Not in a place called hell. Let's close in prayer. Our Father, we bow in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for he is our access to you. He is the one, Father, who came into the sin-cursed world. And he went to the cross of Calvary where we should have been, because the Bible clearly says, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is the one who stood in my place, in my stead. He said, here am I, send me. I will go, I will die for Brian Taylor. That if he comes to me in faith, accepting that he is a sinner and accepting that I am the Savior, that I have taken his sins away, and say, Lord, save me from my sins. He will save me, and I will be for all eternity with him. Father, we pray that the Spirit of God would speak to hearts even today, if it be your will. For Father, we are only messengers. We just bring the message. And Father, the Spirit of God does the dealing with each individual. We pray, Father, there's some here this morning who are not saved, that they would be convicted of their sin, of righteousness, that they need to be right with God, and of judgment to come if they are not saved. Father, we pray that the Spirit of God would deal with people even today. We thank you for your goodness to us, and especially, Father, we thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.